Mark 3:1-12. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. The congregation, please rise for the assurance of pardon. We as God's people take comfort in Him, in the promises confirmed in Jesus Christ, as revealed in His Word. No other revelation or no other book is perfect like God's Word. So let us hear from God's Word, hear it with faith, from Revelation 12, verses 1 through 17. This is the Word of our Lord. "A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short.' The dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray unto the Lord, ask for the Spirit's blessing upon the hearing and the proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? O Lord, we approach You in the name of Jesus, who at His first coming did send Thy messengers to prepare the way before Him. Grant, Lord, that we, Your servants and stewards of Your mysteries, may likewise so prepare and make ready Thy way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at Thy second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in Thy sight, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Spirit ever, one God, world without end. Lord, open us up, our ears, our minds, our hearts, and our souls to Your truth. Give us the faith to receive it with great joy, the humility to take it and to live by it, and the perseverance to endure temptation and our faithfulness to You. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Let us stand together and sing unto Him. Mark 3:13-35. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Mark 3:13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, and they came to Him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 He appointed. Simon, to whom He gave the name Peter. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them He gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that He and His disciples were not even able to eat. When His family heard about this, they went to take charge of Him, for they said, "He is out of His mind." And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call Him. A crowd was sitting around Him, and they told Him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" He asked. Then He looked at those seated in a circle around Him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to this third chapter in Mark's gospel account and our corresponding third sermon in this sermon series from Mark. And we celebrate this Lord's Day, the third Sunday in the Advent season, where we commemorate the coming of the King, the Son of God, in human flesh into the world. This coming of God's Son was a miraculous event in history and essential for the redemption of humanity and the world. In this third chapter, we hear some more of the same with Jesus from the first two chapters. We hear of conflict. We hear of healing and cleansing. And we hear more profound statements from Jesus on who He is and what He was doing in His earthly ministry. In this chapter, chapter 3, Jesus had a conflict with the scribes over doing good or doing evil on the Sabbath, giving life or killing. He continued His healing of humanity by adding another body part to His list of miracles, restoring a man's hand from verses 1 through 6. He went forth to heal many others of unclean spirits, verses 7 through 12. He called 12 new leaders, whom He called disciples and apostles, to send out to minister to others, including healing and casting out demons, verses 13 to 19. The scribes and others attacked His work, attributing it to the devil, to Satan, and even calling into question Christ's sanity, verses 20 to 30. Finally, Jesus' own flesh and blood family tried to talk some sense into Him to no avail. Christ proclaimed a new family alliance in the kingdom. Now the theme that binds this chapter together with the previous two in Mark is the continued assault that Jesus makes against Satan and his demons. We see repeatedly in the first three chapters, Jesus cleansed, He healed by casting out demons. Man in the synagogue, chapter 1, Jesus casted out a demon. Cleansing all the synagogues in Galilee, He casted out demons. Even sending out the 12 to preach and to cast out demons. Jesus did a lot to and against demons. And we hear that they were powerless against Him. What do you have against us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The synagogues, the people, the whole nation of Israel, it was infested with demons. Many Israelites were enslaved to the devil. Even their religious centers, the synagogues, where they were taught the Word of God, they were inhabited by demons. Israel, God's firstborn son, His treasure possession, was overrun and enslaved by God's enemies. This was serious. God's people could not do what He set them apart to do if they were enslaved and in service to His enemy. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. God's people triumph. We are victorious. Good overcomes evil. Light overcomes darkness. Israel was to be a light unto the nations. Instead, they were enslaved to darkness. Something drastic was needed. A miracle. The Son of God coming in the flesh. And in the flesh, Jesus did miraculous things. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the lame, body part by body part. And He went after His enemies. He did this all for the sake of His kingdom, which He was bringing to the people. The gospel of the kingdom of God went first to Israel. Went first to the Jews. But as we read, instead of praising God for His grace, they rejected Him. Instead of accepting Him with love and gratitude, the people criticized Him. They question him, what right do you have to heal, Jesus? By whose authority do you forgive sins? How dare you do good on the Sabbath? God's chosen people rejected Jesus, rejected God. They rejected his love. They rejected his truth, his saving grace, his miracles. Tragically, not only did they reject Jesus, they even questioned his allegiance. They questioned his power. They questioned his whole purpose in coming. They said to the Lord, "You must be in allegiance with Satan. Son of God, you're not doing the work of God. This is the work of the devil." Can you imagine? Jesus humbling himself, taking on human flesh, doing good. And his people had the nerve to tell him, "You're working for the devil." How ungrateful. How faithless. How wicked of God's people. Looking at something God was graciously doing and attributing it to Satan, of all things? This is blaspheming the work of God. This is blaspheming the work of the Spirit. Taking the loving and saving work of the Lord and saying, "Satan's at work here. Seems like a satanic cult thing. That's the work of darkness, not light." First of all, logically, it's preposterous. And Jesus points that out. If we can't tell the work of God versus the work of the devil, we are lost. If we can't see something that the Lord is clearly doing according to his word, if we can't hold it up to that word, to his perfect revelation, and discern, "Wow, look at what the Lord is doing," we are weak, we are ignorant, we are childlike in our faith. But Christ went right back at them. This is illogical. Why would Satan cast out Satan's demons? Doesn't make sense. Why would the devil chase out darkness to let in the light? Why would a church preach the Bible, hold fast to the Word, exalt Christ, all in the work of the devil? If someone thinks that way, if someone speaks that way, if someone looks at the world that way, we know from Scripture that they have become vain in their thinking and their foolish hearts are darkened. Satan fights Christ, not himself. The Lord attacks evil and kills it. He is all good and all powerful. This work that Christ was doing, it wasn't Satan versus Satan. It's the continued cosmic battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It was promised in the garden, Genesis 3:15, and it was lived out in the life of Israel and reached its culmination in the life and death of Jesus Christ, that true promised seed. And let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. The Lord be with you. Who can raise their hand, refresh our memories? What season are we celebrating right now? Starts with an A. You just lit the candles today. What season is it? Did you forget? Advent. Very good. Who can raise their hand and tell us, what does Advent mean? Do you remember? Forget? Evan?
Coming.
And who can raise their hand and tell us who came at Advent? Elizabeth. Jesus. Jesus came. And who can raise their hand and tell me what holiday do we celebrate when Jesus was born? Oh, a lot more hands there. What holiday?
Christmas.
We celebrate Jesus being born. Now, last week I told you what the word gospel means. Does anyone remember? Who can raise their hand and tell me? What does gospel mean?
Caleb?
Good news. But I added something to the end of it. Do you remember? Elkia?
Of the victory.
Who can give me another word for victory? Raise your hand. Hessel? Victorious. Okay, that's kind of like victory. Dean?
Triumphant.
That's a good word. I like that one. Okay, how about this? It's kind of a foreign thought, but I want you to work with me. I want you to pretend that the Minnesota Vikings won a game. Yeah, I know. Mouse a game. They won the game. They are the victors. Another word for victory is win. You won the game. You're the victors. Okay? So who can raise their hand and tell me who's the victor we celebrate in the gospel? Abby? Jesus. And who can raise their hand and tell me who did Jesus beat to win the gospel? Grace? Satan. He beat Satan. And how did Jesus defeat Satan? We celebrate it on Good Friday and Easter. Hessel. He died on the cross for our sins, and the third day he rose again. Very good. Now, because Jesus won the victory, you guys win the victory too. Raise your hand if you are a victor. Raise your hand if you are a winner. You are winners in Jesus Christ. You are victors in Jesus Christ. And you beat Satan too. In Jesus, you beat Satan. Can you say that? We beat Satan.
We beat Satan.
Let's try that again. We beat Satan.
We beat Satan.
We're victors.
We're victors.
Very good. Boys and girls, eyes on me. Do you have any reason to be afraid of Satan? No, because you beat Satan in Jesus. Jesus won that battle for you, so you don't have to be afraid of Satan. If you do get afraid, you can pray. You can pray and ask God for help. So let's do that now. Will you fold your hands, please? Close your eyes, and please repeat after me. Father in heaven,
thank you
for loving us and sending us
your
Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord,
by your Spirit,
to trust in you
and
believe you
that
we are victors in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can head back to your seats. Jesus Christ did miraculous and mighty deeds throughout his earthly ministry. But he did not just do them for show as some traveling magician just to show off to the people. He did them as part of a constant battle versus Satan. And he tells us why here in Mark 3, verses 25 and 27. He says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. No one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up or binds the strong man. Then he can rob the house." Now, the house of Israel was divided. There were faithful Jews, those who responded to Christ, and there were unfaithful Jews that we see, like the scribes, the Pharisees, those trying to kill Jesus. Israel would not stand with this division within the nation. The people were enslaved to Satan and inhabited with demons. Even the synagogues had demons. Can you believe that? The house of God had demons in it? How bad does a nation have to get where Satan's ruling over the religious houses of God? That nation, Israel, would fall again like they had done previously in the exile. That is why Jesus came to save. He came to save Israel. But before he could plunder the house, before he could plunder Israel, he needed to bind up the strong man. He tells us right here. before he could begin casting out demons, he needed to defeat Satan. And in his life, when was that first time he defeated Satan? 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and resisting the temptation of Satan. That was his first victory over Satan. Jesus overcame him and defeated him and bound him up after those 40 days. As a result, Satan could not stop Jesus. Before Jesus ever casted out a demon, he defeated Satan, the strong man of the house. And then Jesus began saving Israelites from their enslavement. He came like a thief and started stealing people from Satan, releasing them from his stronghold and setting them free to serve the Lord. And not only did Jesus do this, who else did this? He called 12 disciples to free a new Israel. Remember, a divided nation cannot stand. Jesus was forming a new Israel, setting those who were truly Israel, not just of the flesh, but freeing them from the devil and sending his disciples to do the same. That's what's happening here. He's plundering the house. Just like Israel was originally formed from 12 flesh and blood brothers, Jesus started the new covenant with 12 new tribes from 12 Jewish brothers, his disciples. And he clearly tells us it's not by flesh and blood that binds us as a family. It is those who do the will of God who are part of Christ's new family. Jesus' battle did not begin in Mark 3. It didn't even begin in Mark 1. We know, as mentioned with the kids, the Christmas story, that the seed of the serpent raged to kill the seed of the woman in his birth. We heard that from Revelation 12. King Herod killed all those Israelite baby boys to get at Jesus. To get at Jesus in his birth. That dragon sought to devour Israel's coming son, the promised seed. Christmas was one of Satan's last best opportunities to wipe out the seed. But thanks be to God, by his providence and protection, the infant son Jesus was preserved. He grew and was prepared to fight this cosmic battle with Satan, all to glorify the Father and to redeem Israel from slavery. Now, the first battle, as mentioned, was in the wilderness, which Jesus won. He bound Satan and began to plunder Israel. He sought faithful Jews who believed in what he said and what he did. And he challenged Israel's old way of thinking and charged them to live new lives, following him. And the work continued with his disciples, the apostles, as they continued to plunder Israel of faithful Jews who believed the testimony of Jesus and held to the commandments of God. The children teach us this morning that battle reached its culmination on the cross, where Jesus defeated Satan in his death, and he stomped on his head and destroyed his works. The battle was won. The Word of God testifies to this reality. Because of the binding of Satan on the cross, now you, not Israelite believers, but you Gentile believers, have been set free. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, plundered you too from Satan's house. You are no longer his property. You don't have Satan's mark on your head, nor do you have it on your right hand. You have the Lord written in bold letters in your baptism. And being part of the family of God, we too are called to hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to keep God's commandments. No matter how great the temptation, brothers and sisters, you have the Holy Spirit. You are part of God's house. So as Jesus tells us in Mark 3, do the works of God. You, part of His family, do the works of God. Live as the family of God. This house cannot be divided. We won't stand. So bind yourself to one another in the fellowship of the Spirit and strive with one another, resisting sin and temptation. Jesus did a lot to get you. He overcame 40 days of temptation, fasting and resisting the devil. He casted out demon after demon to plunder Satan's house. He overcame in His passion, suffering, and death, and His resurrection. And He established His kingdom in heaven and on earth, where He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Even though the battle for heaven and earth are over, Jesus won, brothers and sisters, still a lot of work to do. The kingdom is established, but we need more brothers and sisters in this family. We need more people in the family of God. We need more singers in the choir. We need more musicians to play in worship. We need more little voices to silence the avenger. But this doesn't happen overnight. It happens through space and through time. It happens at Hamlin Reformed Church in Castlewood, South Dakota. And it spreads to the surrounding areas. It happens when we as the body of Christ, we as individuals, minister to those who don't know Christ. Inviting them into our homes. Inviting them to our table. And witnessing Christ to them. It happens when we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teaching them to obey all that God has commanded us. It happens here when we gather as the covenant body to worship as the Lord has charged us. And it happens on Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, tonight around 5 o'clock, Wednesday night around 6 o'clock, where we gather to thank the Lord for His good gifts, enjoying fellowship with family, giving good gifts to one another, reflecting the gracious giving of the Father, and singing praises for His perfect love reflected in the person, work, and teaching of Jesus Christ, who humbled Himself, fought against the devil for us, and suffered and died to win you to the kingdom of God for the sake of His Father. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord and Father in heaven, we take great comfort in the truth of Your word. We praise You and thank You for declaring Your power and authority in it. Please bless our hearing this morning that we may take hold of Your truth by faith and live confidently in all of Your promises. Please break down any walls or obstacles of sin that exist in our lives. Help us to live humbly, constantly submitting ourselves to the authority of Your word in all areas of life. And bless us in our service to You and the work of Your kingdom to the ends of the earth. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Let us respond with joyful song to the Lord for His grace. Will you stand together and sing?